chapter 10 is where we're going to be at today. We lived out there in West Rowan area. We had a little bit more land, and for some, they probably would like me saying this, and others, we'll just leave it where it falls. But we had cats. My children had cats, and we had a lot of female cats. And so, what happens when you have a lot of female cats? You get more cats. So we had a lot of cats at our house, and when we moved, we only had one that we took with us. And it lasted maybe 2 days. Something got a hold of it, and he didn't make it much longer. Well, yesterday, we went and had to work at my grandmother's house, and we walked up to the door and opened up the back door, and there was my grandmother's cat, Puff. That's the same age as Finn. 15-year-old, this cat, and is still having kittens. We saw in there, and we saw this one little cat, and we said, there, we're going to have to get that for Grace, because that was Grace's cat that died. So we got her a cat. Now, I know some of you, I just lost some points, but I probably picked up some with Miss Lisa this morning. But I know she's a cat lover, but, do you know what you call a pile of cats? Anybody know what you call a pile of cats? Do what? It's called a meowton. I know. A little corny, but it's called a meowton. So I've been wanting to say that. So I figured, my last opportunity in the pulpit on the Sunday morning. Just put that one in for Miss Lisa and encourage her in that, All right, let's pray and we'll all be dismissed. But I'm so grateful, like Brother Doug was just singing. I'm just grateful what the Lord has done in my life over these past couple years, and just to get the privilege to be able to preach, Never thought that I'll stand up here and preach. I'm still nervous standing up here, but it's the Lord that does this through me. It's not me standing up here. Any man can get up here and do it, but it'd be vain. It'd be empty. But when we get called by the Lord, you need to answer that call. If there's somebody in this room here today that the Lord's working on you, wanting you to be in the ministry, whatever it is, please don't run from that. For 2 years I ran. Hey, he's done so much for us. He's done so much. We ought to surrender all to him, give him every bit of our life. But I'm so grateful that the Lord allows me to preach and be able to stand up here and do this, get to go to the nursing homes, allowed to be able to be in a teen group. I'm just so grateful the Lord allows me to do this. And there's no higher calling than to be able to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even for preachers, be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing higher than that. You step down to be a president. You do. You step down from that to be a president, be a king. Be the king, be the queen of England. You step down and you pick up that. It's so a high calling. I'm so wonderful for the good singing today. I'm so grateful for the Lord and his presence from the praise time this morning. I just pray the Lord will bless these next few moments as we get into God's word. And I hope this be a help to you today. But Luke chapter 10, be in verse number 38. And we'll read down to verse number 42. If you would, please stand. Now, the reverence for the reading of God's word. I'll read this and we'll get into it, to the message. Verse number 38, we'll start reading there. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus, sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." This has come up many times in messages over the past couple months, and the Lord brought me to this, and this is what I need. I don't stand up here and think, this is what this person needs, this is what this person needs. Many times this is what I need when I stand up here and preach. And this is what the Lord's been drawing me to, always keep my focus, my look on him. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. That's always been coming. But here it is, come back to Mary, where she's at. She's at Jesus' feet. So I'm going to pose a question to you this morning through this message. Are you sitting at Jesus' feet? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, so grateful already to be in your house. Lord, the song service. Lord, I'm so grateful for it, Lord, to get our focus upon thee this morning. Thank you for that. Thank you for the praise time that we had this morning before we broke off to the Sunday school hour. And Lord, you've been so good to us. Lord, help us not to be silent. Lord, help us always, Lord, to be honoring you. Lord, glorifying you, lifting your name up, and Lord, letting the world know how good you are to us. But Lord, I pray now for the next few moments, Lord, as we get into your word, as we get into this message that you've given, Lord, I pray that you'll bless it. Lord, I pray that your hand will be upon it. Lord, I pray that you'll arrest every attention that's in here. Lord, help. Help us, Lord. I know you're not going to take it, but Lord, help us that our minds, Lord, this morning will be stayed upon thee. And Lord, that our hearts will be open for what you have for us. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit to have free reign today during this hour. And Lord, I pray that you'll bind Satan, Lord, that you will hold up your banner against him and rebuke him, that he won't come in, Lord. He won't distract, get us off. Lord, that you will not allow that. Lord, that you'll just, Lord, to be honored and glorified today. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. How about if you came to church this morning, and you came in, you was all ready for church and ready for the preaching. You came in and sat down, and we said, we got a guest preacher here today. And come in the back door, it was Jesus Christ himself. Come back in, come in here. Just think about that. He came in, and then he was going to come to your house right after church and have lunch. Just think about that. What's running through your mind right now? What's something that you left at home that you need to be taken care of at home? If that was it, I'd be calling Lily because she's at home with Abishai. I was like, Lily, Jesus is here. The boss. Do what you can to get things cleaned up because we got a house of seven, you know, and it's not always neat. I know some of you, if you walk in your house, it'd be like opening up Better Homes and Garden, country living, you know. Some of you keep your house like that, but there's some of us that it's impossible. You know, we can do it, and it lasts for 15 minutes. You know how you can get your carpet and you vacuum and you got those wonderful stripes. And you walk in there, it's like, oh, it's all fresh and clean. 15 minutes later, it's like, you know, trampled upon. You're like, oh, that work and everything. But just think about that. You know, joking around a little bit, but just think about that. Jesus coming to your house and is going to spend time with you right after this morning service. Just think about that. Well, right here it is in this chapter. You know, Jesus is just coming into Bethany, and he's come to this house, and this is a family that he loves dearly. This is Mary and Martha, and if you remember the story about Lazarus, who he brought back from the dead, this is a family that he cared a lot about. And here he is, he's coming back through, and he's going by, and he's visiting with them, and he's going into their house. And then we look right there in verse number 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Martha had a lot on her mind. Things in her house, the food that she wanted to prepare and get ready for all the people that was in her house, but that cumbered. You know, I did in my Bible, I don't know if you have it in writing in your Bible, but that word cumbered there means distracted. So Martha was distracted about much serving. Her focus was on trying to take care of all the people in there, and hey, that's commendable. That's good. We want to do that. When people come in our house, our mind should be about serving them and doing what we can to make them comfortable in our house. But that doesn't all end there. She kind of gets upset because her sister is not there trying to help her with all the stuff that needs to be going on. And you read on down there, and then she goes to Jesus and come to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone, serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And then it goes on in, and then here's Jesus. And he answered and says, Martha, Martha, and troubled about many things. I don't know. If you're in the habit of doing it, look up here in verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered, was distracted about much serving. It's underlined much right there in that. And you look down there in verse number 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So much things and many things. She's right there. She's working. So careful is meaning that she's anxious. You know, I'm sure if Jesus Christ was really here in person, you know, just imagination here, mind's eye, and he was going to your house right after, I would be anxious about that. You know, he's coming to my house. I would think, you know, I would be this kind of the same way about it. You know, also, troubled means disturbed. So she was disturbed about her sister not helping. And also, troubled means annoyed. She was actually in the presence of Jesus Christ in her house. She was annoyed with her sister. Just think about that. just a thought. But there it is, as much in there, and then in many. So here it is. So there are many and much things, church, that causes anxiety, that causes us to be disturbed in our life. It could be family. It could be our job. It could be our neighborhood that we're in. It could be schools if you're a teacher or young people, you're in school. These are many things that can cause us to be anxious. These are many things that can disturb us. But Jesus tells Martha, hey, that one thing. Look down there in verse number 42. But one thing is needful. One thing, needful means necessary. There's one thing. You're troubled about many things, much things, but there's one thing that is necessary. And Mary had chosen the good part. And guess where she was at? At Jesus' feet. It's important to know that in Eastern culture, it was always the case that students always sat at their teacher's feet. They sat there, and they did that. To sit at Jesus' feet was to learn from him. So she was sitting there trying to learn from him. We should ever want, church, to be growing. We shouldn't just be comfortable with just where we're at, but always growing, increasing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, always wanting to learn from him. Always. We should have that. Don't leave it always to the man of God to be teaching you the Word of God, everything that's in the Bible. You shouldn't be doing that. Paul, you look in Acts chapter 22, we don't have to turn there, but Paul, when he was being brought up, he sat at the feet of his teacher, Gamaliel. Hey, this was one of the big chief men of the Sanhedrin that he was sitting under his feet and his training. But after his conversion on the road to Damascus, and the Lord led him away to Arabia for 3 years, he sat at his feet. A whole lot changed during that time. The Lord was teaching him. And he wrote this in the Galatians. Let's turn there. I want you to see this. Galatians chapter 1. Just a couple books over. Oh, I was just excited about this. This is so good. The religious people, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, were teaching the Apostle Paul all about, before he was Apostle Paul, he was Saul, teaching him all about the law. But here we are in verse number 1, and we'll just, chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Please follow along with me here. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by that grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with them 15 days. You know, there was something that changed on that road to Damascus. Saul, who was changed to Paul, he knew a lot. He was under the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. These guys knew the law. They knew the Bible, the Old Testament. They knew this. And he was underneath that. But once he went and spent 3 years with the Lord, you see right there, it said, to reveal the Son in me. There was a change there. It was not more right here. It was more down here. There was a lot happened for Apostle Paul. That's why I was wondering, right after I surrendered to preach, Pastor Caldwell came up and said, you're going to be preaching in a couple weeks. I was like, whoa, Apostle Paul, man, he knew all about the Bible, and he had 3 years with God. Come on, give me a little bit more time here. Yeah, I was just use that as a joke, but hey, 3 years, things changed. That road to Damascus, something changed in him. It stopped being a head knowledge and start becoming a heart knowledge, because it revealed the Son of God in him on that. You see, it was God that revealed it in him. This is why personal time with the Lord is so important for us, so that he can reveal things to us through his word. I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot better when the Holy Spirit opens up your eyes to this truth than it is from the man of God up here. Now, the Lord uses us, the Holy Spirit uses these messages to speak to you, but hey, when it's the quiet time at home, in your house, this should be crumbs, what's preached from this pulpit. When you're at home alone with Him, when the quiet time of the morning, hey, that's some good stuff. That's meat. That's great stuff that you can hold on to. So it's very important so that He can reveal Himself to you, in you. To learn of Jesus and to live in fellowship with Him is the highest privilege of a believer. It's up there. It's not something that we deserve. No, it's a privilege that we get to learn about Him. There are three things that the Lord would have us to see sitting at His feet. And I'll quickly go through these. The first thing that we want to see sitting at His feet is a humbling place. Look there in verse number 39. Turn back there to Luke chapter 10. Look there in verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Mary, which sat at His feet, coming and sitting at the feet of Jesus is a humbling act. Denying self and going to Him. We recognize our need for Him when we're sitting at His feet. Seeing that Christ's feet signifies a readiness. Hey, I'm ready to receive Your word. I'm ready for this. It shows our dependence upon Him. This is important, church. This is very important. Sitting at His feet shows that we are depending upon Him. It's a humbling place, sitting at His feet. Too often we want our independence from Him so we can go on and do the things we want to do. Something that I'm comfortable with. If it was left up to me, I'll be sitting down there with you. Well, be honest with you. If it would be left up to me, I'd be at home doing what I wanted to do. No, but it's because of Him. Because what He does, my dependence is upon Him. That's why I need to be here. That's why I need to be at church. Church is the pillar and ground of truth. It's our foundation as believers. We need to be in church. It's so important. I need to be here. Shows my dependence in Him. Back in Genesis chapter 1, God created man in His own image. And created He him. But ever since the fall of man has tried to create God in His image. Ever since then. It's still going on today. This church is wrong. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. That's what it is. And in 1 Peter 5:6, church, this is what we need to do. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Hey, it's a humbling place when we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We need to be at His feet, always there. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So the first place that we will be sitting in is a humble place sitting at Jesus' feet. Second one is a holy place sitting at His feet. Isaiah chapter 6, preached on this about a year ago. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, it's all Psalm and Isaiah. Y'all run through them as well sometimes when you... All right, verse number 1 there. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved as the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The people that is closest to the Lord right now, not people, angels, closest to the Lord right now, the only thing they can say as they're flying around the throne is, holy, holy, holy. Hey, being at the feet of Jesus, it's a holy place. It's a good place that we need to be at. We need never forget that any time you are in the presence of the Lord, it's a holy place. It's a good place to be at. You see, any time that men, like here in Isaiah and John the Revelator, ever came in the presence of the Lord, what do? They knew that it was holy. You know, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell with the people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, is what he saw. And John the Revelator, what did he do? He just laid down on his face and acted like a dead man in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he's holy. It's a holy place to be there. We have belittled the place of worship. We have belittled that. The church house has now become a social event. We as a church nation has dumbed down the church. We've done that. As a Christian nation, we have dumbed down the church. We've done it. Why are we not seeing any more tabernacle churches being built? Why are we not seeing any more Mount Zion, Gospelite, Trinity, Emmanuel, Safe Harbor? Why aren't we seeing any more churches like this being built? Instead, we're seeing the lake, the brook, the cove. Get this one, the gathering. And before long, hey, it's going to be the couch. Yeah. Where mom's the preacher and dad don't care. That's what it's going to be. Look back in the Old Testament and you see where God's people forgot him and forgot the house. And they start making places. Look at this. They call it the high places. Listen to this. They call it the groves. It's where they worship false gods, where they set up human gods that they wanted themselves. It's a place where we need to say, this is a holy place. This is not a place where the world can come in and influence us. This is where the world comes in and get changed. This is what the church is, a holy place. One of the reasons we do not hold this place up as a holy place because somewhere along the line, we have neglected the holy place where we come to God in private in our secret place. Our corporate worship has become stale because our private worship has become non-existent. We need to get back to the feet of Jesus because church, it's a holy place. It's a place we need to be. It's a humble place. It's a holy place. And then lastly, it's an honoring place. Being at his feet is an honoring place. Look there in verse number, in chapter 10, you see the count. Let me turn there. Luke chapter number 10. You see there in verse number 39, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I'm going to turn over to John as well. That's where I meant to go. If you would, turn over there as well. John chapter 12. And here it is, another account of it. And it said, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came, verse number 1, to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead. When he rose from the dead, there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one, he goes on down and talks about all that. But look down there, jump down to verse number 7, verse number 8. Then said Jesus, he was rebuking these people that was saying that she wasted this oil on his feet. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. There it was. This was something that was very costly. And Mary honored the Lord by not only anointing his feet, but taking her hair and washing it on his feet. She was honoring him. Another time, you look in John 11:32, again you see Mary. She goes and she falls at his feet, honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, it's an honoring place being at the feet of Jesus. Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their duties, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. Church, we need to be at his feet because it honors him. We need to be honoring our Lord and Savior always. And then lastly, church, please turn to Revelation chapter 4. We'll just read verse number 10 and 11. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Church, we need to be at His feet because we're honoring Him sitting at His feet. Hey, if you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and you're not doing it now, you will do it one day. Why not start practicing now? Hey, so we can have more crowns to cast at His feet, to honor Him and to love Him. So I asked you, are you sitting at Jesus' feet? Hey, it's a humbling place. It is, but it's a holy place. And it's a place where we can honor Him. Church, please, always, be at Jesus' feet. Sit at His feet. It's where we need to be. Let's close it.